Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Tim Coldiron from Promise Village and Milan Jurkovic. Thanks for joining us today on New Life. 1-800-229-3000.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
I love that.
It is great.
What's that?
I love dust acceleration process. I think that's very funny.
Yeah. You know, I know people that do not want to be cremated.
I don't.
And what is your reasoning?
Too hot.
Too hot.
Yeah. I like the idea of, I don't know, there's something inside of me that likes just a burial concept. Mm-hmm. And I think it's biblical, and it's a place for people to come if they wish to spend time in the part of the mourning and grieving process. And it just feels to me like something that I prefer. It's a preference.
Yeah. I wanted to be cremated until I saw Meet the Parents. And then I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be up on some mantle and some cat's going to knock me off, and I'm going to be dust to the wind. Are we all is dust in the wind.
And who sang that song?
Tim, do you want to be cremated
Kansas.
Or buried?
It doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter.
It really
doesn't. Yeah, okay. All right.
But I will sing Dust in the Wind for you.
Okay. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've been having some segments with Max Lucado from his book, Max on Life. Here it is. Listen to Max. We're going through the new book, Max on Life, with Max Lucado. And question about ogling women. And is that okay? Well, the woman that asked the question says she feels humiliated but doesn't really feel like that she has the right to ask him to stop it. I suppose he just says, I just enjoy beautiful women. You have a great answer for this.
Well, Jesus spoke real clearly about this. He said, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that any man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. So he has really strong language about this.
Yeah.
The definitions that help me, lust means looking at a person with sexual intent, fantasizing about someone you're not married to. Adultery means that as a married person, you're engaging in sexual activity with someone other than your spouse. The difference is touch. The similarity is thought.
Now, that was
brilliant
right there.
Somebody said once that lust is the second time that you gaze at a woman. I think there's some wisdom at that.
And both, I think that was Billy
both
Graham.
Both of these cross a line. Both of these are out of what God wills for a marriage. Listen, we men really have to discipline our eyes. We really do. And I do not think that there is a place for a married man who calls himself a Christian to be ogling or staring or lusting after a woman who is not his wife. This just opens the door to all kinds of problems.
That's right.
We have to practice mental and vision discipline here. We simply cannot afford ourselves that privilege. Be quick to turn your eyes away. Just be very quick. And wherever you find yourself, this means we've got to be quick at closing magazines. We've got to be quick at turning away when we walk in front of a Victoria's Secret store.
Absolutely.
We just got to practice this discipline. If we don't, we're opening the door. And we have made a pledge to one woman, and we've got to honor that pledge. If we don't, we're dishonoring her.
That's from Max's book, Max on Life. And I tell you what, we'll give a copy away to everybody that calls today. We'll be back right after this for New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
my clothes are falling off of me, people are making comments, I would picket my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day, and I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. I want to go right to our calls, and I want to talk to Munson from Burke, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi there.
Well, good evening, and let me just say you all do a great job. Who can I call to give you all a 20% pay raise? Something like that.
you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and mention my name. And
okay.
All right. How can we help you today, Munson? Sure.
I just have a question. We're talking with the person I talk with on the telephone.
Diane, she's our screen caller.
She's terrific and very, very compassionate.
Yeah.
I've recently retired, 8 months ago, I've been trying to, what has happened in my life, I've had all kinds of various abuse from spiritual, sexual, emotional, physical. I had addictions, alcohol, drug addiction. I got spiritual abuse most recently in my former church. And my question is, I want to be a man of integrity, and I have had issues with pornography, being drawn into it at an early age, not knowing what it was. And then I've had bouts with it for close to 50 years, and I feel like I'm coming into my own by the grace of God to resist the temptation. But with the way the culture is, I would like to, by God's grace, get back the innocence I have lost.
Okay. Pretty wild music you got going there in the background, and we're enjoying that while we're talking.
Well, it's Pat Travers.
Okay. Well, tell me about the men in your life.
And I'll turn down the radio.
Okay, that'd be good. But tell me about the men in your life.
I've had no men in my life, actually.
Okay.
I come from a broken home. My father was a West Pointer, and if he had any issues, you know, in terms of emotional distress, he said, "Son, put the demons back in your closet."
Okay.
Came from a broken family. And I've had two older sisters. I really had no really mentors in my life.
Okay. All right. Well, Mylon, what are you thinking?
Are you married, Munson?
No, I would like to. In fact, I've really never had a girlfriend, and I think maybe I would surrogate that by getting into women to escorts.
Sure. Well, are you a member of a church, Munson?
I was.
But it was abusive.
But it was abusive, and I served the church, and it was abused by my pastor and as well as some staff members, and my reputation was sullied in front of the congregation. So I said to myself, I can't go back because people are whispering about me, but they don't talk to me to my face.
Well, I think Munson, you're asking a really good set of questions, in that you want to grow over the course of a lifetime. Sanctification is a lifelong process, and if you've been hurt a lot as a child and throughout your adolescence and into adulthood, there's none of us that are done with this process of sanctification. Mm. And you know, it's something I always have to be working on. And I think pornography has taken a place in your life of preeminence. And it has taken such a high priority that it can really make real relationships hard. And I would think that one of the antidotes, and then I'll see what Tim says here, one of my antidotes would be for you to get into a church that isn't as autocratic and is as dominating as perhaps the one you have been in, but get into a church where you have groups that are fellowship groups, socialization groups, and begin to spend time in mixed company with other men and women and enjoy them and begin to grow in terms of developing and cultivating friendships that are at emotional, spiritual, and relational levels. And out of that,
severe trust issues, I think.
Well, of course, but this is how, though, Munson, you're going to overcome them.
You don't overcome your fear of elevators by not ever going on an elevator, right?
Oh, I did. No,
so
that was funny, Munson.
That was very funny.
That was very good.
That's something I would have said. But so you gotta do the thing that is most uncomfortable for you, and then at 59, it's not too late to make that a part of your life.
As I learned, sir, from my self-help group, I went to an anger management group. Do the thing you fear to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But I would start out with finding this nice church.
Yep.
That has a nice men's Bible study.
Yeah.
And you just go there, and you go to that Bible study, no matter how hard it is to get there, and no matter how uncomfortable, you just keep going. And then one day you say to the leader, "I'd like to get into a support group with some other men."
Okay. Remember, there's no perfect church, and there's not going to be a perfect support group, and there's other people in there that are struggling. The thing I think is awesome is that you're 53 years old, and you're still
No, I'm not. At 6 years, I'll be 59 in a year.
Oh, 59 years old.
Okay, well, forget it.
Exactly.
But thank you. 59
still.
I'll go back to that if you
He
want.
Does have a young voice, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sounds like he's 39.
Really? And yet you are still in the battle, and you've had a lot of broken heartedness, and God says he's near to the brokenhearted. He'll continue to be with you during this journey, and don't give up. Keep on working at it, and get the support that you need to get on the other side.
Thank you so much, and I want to get in a church that's not toxic.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to send you.
Is there any literature you could send me, or do I need to go back on the phone to order Every Man's Battle? Or
I'll send you Every Man's.
I have a list of churches in my area.
Okay,
sir.
I'll send you Every Man's Battle. I'm going to hope that you will go to the Every Man's Battle workshop, because that's the beginning of a life of integrity.
Oh.
And if you can't afford it, I'm going to hope that we'll get a scholarship for you. But if you can, I hope you'll pay for it, and I hope you'll be at the next one. I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle and Toxic Faith. Mm. And from Toxic Faith, I think you'll see that church that you were in, and it'll make you feel better about yourself that you got out of it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, that's the number to call. Let's talk with Janie from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hi, Janie.
Hello.
Hi, how could we help you today?
Well, I just have a question that I wanted to ask you about a relationship that I have.
Okay.
I've been married to a man for 30 years. He is emotionally and intimately totally detached from me. And I know the way I was brought up that adultery is the only reason for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel like I can put up with this emotional abuse anymore.
Okay.
In fact, I have actually had to go to an intensive outpatient program because I was getting suicidal.
Oh, dear. Mm. Okay. What have you done to try to help the situation other than get some help for your despair? Have you suggested anything or asked him to do anything?
Well, he is an alcoholic, but he has quit drinking. And we've been in therapy together.
Okay, now
since he stopped drinking for about 6 years, but it hasn't gotten any better.
Okay, so why isn't he going to a recovery program?
Well, he has become a Christian, and I have told him he needs to go to Al-Anon or AA, but he just gets stuck where he is, and he's not very motivated about anything. I think he has a personality disorder also.
Yeah. Now, why haven't you gone to Al-Anon? Why haven't you gone to Al-Anon, which is for the, you know, the spouses?
Well, since I went to the intensive outpatient program, I have started going to Al-Anon.
Good for you. Good for you. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. All right. So what's the question for us then?
I'm torn between feeling like that I need to stay in this marriage because he needs me. I have carried him for 30 years. But yet, I am very unhappy, and I don't see any hope in the marriage.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, what would God want me to do? That's the problem, and that's the thing I'm trying to figure out myself.
Okay.
I know that adultery is what the Bible says, only for adultery that you're to leave. But my husband has, when he was drinking, he was into pornography, and, you know, he had nothing to do with me intimately at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he would meet his own needs.
Mm-hmm. You're looking for a way out, really. Is that your question? Is it okay for you to leave even though there wasn't adultery but there was pornography?
Yeah. I guess in a way, that's
all right.
What I'm wondering.
Well, let's just give you help with the whole situation. Mylon, you want to start us off?
Well, I think that when we stay in positions and we don't fight or push, we get hopeless and we become despairing. And I think that may have been why you got such a depressed place. You have to be able, as you're doing now, to say, what can I do? I think that you can give your husband an ultimatum and say, I've been carrying you for 30 years. And I think what I've seen a lot of people do that can work is you create an intervention where perhaps you get separated. And you say, you know what, I will come, I will contemplate the idea of us getting back together again if I see growth and you learning to carry yourself. And you sort of start the relationship over again. Odds are he wasn't a healthy dude when you, that's what we say in California. They don't say that in North Carolina, but we say dude in California. You say dude there too?
Well, they say dude.
Dude. So he probably wasn't a really healthy dude when you married him, was he?
No, he was not, and this was my second marriage, in fact, and I think I jumped into it too soon because I had been divorced for 5 years, and this other relationship, my daughter and I were abandoned when she was an infant by my
So, Mylon, are you saying you don't go from kind of enabling it to bailing on it? There's some other things.
Well, I'm saying there's a step in between. It's to give the person an ultimatum and say, I must separate for the sake of my own emotional health and not stay in this abusive relationship of being emotionally detached and there's nothing here. If you want me back, you do the work. And some of the things you just suggested, Steve, that he should be in recovery groups, he should be working harder on himself. And if you put a price on yourself, Janie, I'm worth this for you to work hard to come back to me. That will show some respect for yourself and tell your husband what you require if you want the second half to be better than the first. Tim, what would you say?
I couldn't say it better. When you were talking, I was thinking the exact same thing. There needs to be a time of separation. And a lot of people think it's divorce or nothing.
Right.
And it's all or nothing. And I think that give him time to work on some things you have enabled, probably been codependent, and carried him for all these years, you say. If the stakes are high and that is you leaving, maybe it'll be a motivator for him to make some change.
Now, what do you think, Steve?
Another approach would be to maybe hope or assume that he just might do what some men do as they age, is they get a little mellower and a little softer, some. So I would maybe say, I don't know where you think we are or what you want out of our relationship, but it's obviously, it's not what it could be. Why don't we go to this marriage thing and see if we can start talking again, and sharing again, and being a couple again?
I tried that.
What do you say?
We get in that therapy for 6 years, and it hasn't worked.
Okay, but I'm not talking about therapy for 6 years. I'm talking about a weekend, Friday to Sunday, Friday through Sunday. You say to him, before we do anything else, let's just do this one thing. Mm-hmm. Now, if he says, I'm not willing to give you a weekend, well, I guess you know the answer.
Right.
But I really, I think your best hope is to start this process of healing at a New Life weekend, mm-hmm. and to see how far you both could get in getting back on each other's team.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe get on each other's team for the first time ever.
Right.
So I want you to hold on, and I'm going to give you some information about that, and I'm going to send you Mylan's book, How We Love, and I hope that that will be of help to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry for what you're going through. If you could get him to that weekend.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, I'm
weekends tend to break up the log jams. You know, it's a very different intervention, and you're in a group of people.
That's right. Not ashamed to say you need to go. It's the most healing, most potential thing that I know you can get involved with. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us and support us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married, the ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, I've been talking about these weekends. I want to play you just a quote or an excerpt from one of the weekends, one of the women talking there at the end on Sunday. This is what happens sometimes when people come to a New Life weekend.
I came here with a purpose, to take one step forward for help in our marriage. And instead, this weekend, I just found out I got pushed two steps back. I have the tools now to go home and work through it. My walls are still going to be up, but there are things to bring it down and continue with the marriage. That was my first one. My second one is, I hear everyone talking about the Lord's talked to me. The Lord's told me. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm still waiting for the Lord to talk to me. I decided as of today, I had asked the Lord to be my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes from one of God's apostles, Steve. He was very good. And so now I have a long road ahead of me. And I'm hoping to work things out with the Lord and with the marriage.
Mm. The Steve she was talking about was Steve Silverstein, one of our best counselors there. But see what happens? A woman comes and now is her eternity is mm-hmm. secure. Her life is going to be different. If there's any way you can get there, please come to the New Life Weekend. Let's go to LaDonna from Tulsa, Oklahoma. KCFO is the station. Hi, LaDonna. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty well. Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I am about to go. Let me give you a little background.
Okay.
And this pertains to kind of my story, my question. I'm 32. My husband's about to turn 40 this year. We owned a business. We're both jewelers. We've owned a jewelry store in the town that we're from for 5 years. And this last November, we've been going through a little bit of a rough patch because of the economy. And the place we were renting came in on us, gave us a 24-hour notice to move our location to a different one and find a different location. At the time when that was happening, my mom was also in the ICU dying. So it was very traumatic, trying to move my business, trying to be at the hospital with my mom and be with her and, you know, spend the little time that I had left with her. And now me and my husband have, since that has happened, has decided to sell our business, and we've already sold it. We have somebody that we can rely on that's buying the business. It's great, but we're moving from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Taos, New Mexico, which is like 10 and a half hours away. I don't know anybody there. Mm-hmm. I've only been there twice in my life. I am excited about it. I do see it as an adventure, but I'm a little concerned that once I get there and everything's quiet, I don't have a business. I don't have all the noise of a busy life mm-hmm. that my mother's death, the loss of everything, that I'm losing my business and everything like that,
yeah.
that it's going to smack me in the face and I'm just going to, you know, fall apart.
You know what I was thinking when you were describing all this? Here's the word that came to my mind. Perfect. It's the perfect situation to go from your comfort and your business and your busyness to you getting on mission with God, where you go to Taos and you say, what does this community need? Where could I help the most? How could I be part of a church, part of the community that would totally reverse my life, where it's all about giving and serving and ministering right here in Taos, New Mexico?
That's what I want it to be.
Okay. Well, I think the more miserable you are, the more you might be driven to go get busy, you know, and to get involved in something. And so you don't have a business, but you have a ministry. And I think this is how we come to feel fully human and fully alive, is in the service of other people. And you're one of those folks that would be able to do that.
That's the one thing I loved about having a business, was communicating with my customers every day. Mm. And, you know, our business is a little bit different. We did custom jewelry, so
can I add something to that?
Made yeah. something for somebody.
Yeah,
LaDonna, can I add something
sure.
to what Steve said? Because I like what Steve said mm-hmm. that instead of having a business, you serve. But I'd like to suggest that one of the things you do is you serve yourself. And
right.
and then when you go to Taos, New Mexico, you find a grief group. A bunch of people that don't know each other, because you're going to be new in town. You just jump into a grief group and you say, you know, I've had a lot of losses in my life and I want to slow down long enough. And when we do slow down, LaDonna, the pain does bubble up to the top. And I would allow it to come in. I would just face it. And it's painful.
Okay.
I've done it. And to feel, maybe for the first time in new ways, those losses, and begin to feel again. And then that will make your ministry even more powerful.
What do you think?
That's awesome. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
All right, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice and the little book Transformation, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. We'll be back right after this for the second half of New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Tim, you had a thought.
I was just thinking with LaDonna, you know, it might be a real blessing that all of the trappings of everything she was involved in are gone. And sometimes the solitude and just being still and knowing that He is God is exactly what she needs. And some of these things that she's dealt with, the losses, might have taken years and years and years for her to work through. And maybe this is an opportunity for her to move through things fairly quick so that she can use those struggles she's gone through on behalf of someone else, just like you were talking about.
Yeah. You ever been to Taos?
I haven't.
Pretty neat place.
Pretty neat place.
Yeah.
Pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty remote.
Yeah.
But she sounds like a neat lady who gives
does.
A lot
yep.
to people and has a very deep concern for others. And sometimes people like that don't take enough time to care for themselves.
Hey, listen to this.
Hey, I'm listening.
Here's a call from Jenny from Tabasco, Mexico. It's not New Mexico, but it's Mexico. But that's kind of a coincidence. All right. Jenny from Tabasco. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, I have a question. Well, I've been married for 12 years already.
Yes.
And, four months ago, I find out that my husband had an affair. He committed adultery with somebody.
How long ago was the affair?
4 months
well,
ago.
Well, he said that. That happened in summer of 2009, like a year and a half
okay.
ago.
Okay. All right.
And so now, well, just like 30 minutes ago, he confessed that that was not the only crummy thing that he had done. He had done other things. And I didn't know that, and that really broke my heart. Mm. And so now I just don't know what to do or how to deal with that. I feel really bad.
Okay. Did your husband, when he confessed, did he say, I want to get some help or I want to do something differently? Or what was he saying to you?
Well, he said that he wants to do something and that he wants to change.
Okay. All right. What's he willing to do? I mean, has he done anything? Has he gone to see anybody, talk to the preacher, the priest, whatever?
Not really.
Yeah.
We have been talking to somebody, a friend that we know, this weekend, that we went to visit them, and then we started telling him our situation. But nothing else. I don't know if he has done something else, and I don't think he had done. He had tried something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I told him that I will call you to. Well, I told him today that I was trying to call you to find out if he had an addiction or what was the problem. Because I don't know. I'm so confused.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's an addiction. It's a problem. I would just call it a problem, and he needs to get help for his problem. So, you know, can he go north and go to an Every Man's Battle weekend?
We would like to, but, you know, we just moved from there to here, and we have just, like, 2 years here living. And I just got a job, and he doesn't have a job. We are very short in money, and our visa expired, so we don't have a way to go there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you the book, have him read the book, and then you say to him, after you read the book, I want you to go to the church, and I want you to ask the pastor to find a couple other men for you to be in a group with.
Well, the thing is that we profess to be Christians, and that's one of the things that really hurt me, because I never thought that he would be capable of doing something like that. And he has responsibilities in the church, like youth leader, a deacon.
All the more reason that he should go and he should tell the truth about his situation.
That should almost be the first thing that he does.
And whatever, either they're going to help him in a restoration process, or they're going to tell him, you need to resign from these things until you get well. They are on your side. God is on your side. Don't let him not sit down with the church leadership and say, here's what I'm guilty of. I've confessed it to my wife. What do you want me to do?
Well, he already left all the responsibilities in the church already.
Okay, so why did you say he had responsibilities then? What was the point you were trying to make with that?
I mean, he's not a deacon anymore. Well, we're still going to church, but...
Okay, but I said was go ask him to go to the pastor. Read the book, go to the pastor, and say, I need to get into a group with a couple other men. Can you help me?
Actually, I find out about your ministry because we read the book of Every Man's Battle. Somebody gave it to
us. Okay, you've already read that.
Yeah, okay. We read it together.
Okay. So, Jenny, here's the way men who can't get treatment or counseling, here's the way they heal from this. They get in a group with a couple of other men, and they hold each other accountable. They study the Bible together. They encourage each other. They do things together. If you want your husband, while he's unemployed, to get better, he needs to get with a couple of other men. Now, I don't know why you wouldn't just say to him, go talk to the pastor about this, but somehow you need to get him with a couple of other men. It's kind of the minimum thing that he could do. Mylon, Tim, what are you guys thinking?
Go ahead.
How well do you know your pastor, Jenny? How well do you know the priest or the pastor?
Well, he's just new here, like 4 months, and I don't really have that closeness, and I don't trust him either.
Why don't you trust him?
Because we have had in other situations in the church with other members, and I don't know. I don't feel like talking to him, but we can try another pastor that is close to us.
Okay, well, I would do it anyhow. This would be a test of a new pastor to me. What are you going to do with this? And I would tell him what the situation is. The more people that your husband and you can tell in a closely guarded group, but a group of people, like 2, 3, 4 people, that help to hold you accountable, and maybe some other couples, 1 or 2 pastors or priests, and in fact, as Steve is recommending. But you really do need to get as much support as possible. And then, Jenny, I don't blame you for being hurt. This would be horribly hurtful information for you to hear. And to find out that you've been married 13 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, a year or so ago, your husband has had an affair, and then he admits to some other bad things. I would feel very bad about that if I were you, and I'm so sorry for you. I want you to know that. But you also then have to decide what do you want to do, and your husband has to prove to you that he's trustworthy, and he's going to have to show you that you're not the one that has to make all the phone calls. He has to do the work and figure out how can I get myself back on track. And he's going to have to prove to you and earn your respect back. That's very important.
Okay. And well, right now I feel like just leaving him alone and fix his problem, and because I don't know if I could still live with him or just to have a separation for a short time.
Well, we're not recommending that.
You're entitled to leave. You're entitled to that, but it would be great if you could work this out with him.
Mm-hmm. This is fresh, though. You know, it's very fresh, and for you to even call today, as fresh as this is amazing that you haven't given up and that you're willing to try to find answers. I've heard in your silence, I've heard resistance from you about reaching out to the church and his pastor and others, and it's probably because your husband said he was a man of God and working in the church, and so to trust others and other dynamics that have gone on. But don't give up.
Yeah.
There's going to be someone somewhere near you, a pastor, a deacon, someone who you can trust, and pray to that end.
Okay, and I'm going to send you a copy of the book that's for wives, Wives in the Battle, the Every Heart Restored material. I'll send that to you. And I just hope and pray that maybe somebody could scholarship him. But you need to be in a group. He does. And it'd be great for you to get some support, too. All right, we're going to take a break and come back for our final segment of New Life Live. When we come back, Tim, I want you to talk about this initiative that you have. There are people that want to start Promise Villages in their area. They want to work with kids, and you can train them and teach them to do that. So we'll talk about that right after this. And thank you for listening to us. We are listener supported. Would you please help us? Is there any way that you could help? If you can, would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online at newlife.com. You can give online. We need your help. It's just that simple. We can't stay on the air without your help. I hope that if you've never given before, you say, okay, it's spring. I'm going to be a part of their giving family. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the river.
If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn, and we have had Tim Coldiron on as our guest. Tim is the founder of Promise Village, and if you have a child that you know, you're aware of, encourage their parents to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll tell you about Promise Village, or if your child is in trouble, Promise Village. But Tim, you're also training some people to create a Promise Village in their area. What do people need to do if they are interested in creating or turning whatever their treatment program is into a Promise Village?
Well, there are youth pastors, there's clinicians, there are social workers, someone who maybe owns a property or ranch and would like to open up a children's home or a group home, therapeutic boarding school. We have a program, and Kellogg Foundation has joined with us in efforts to replicate our program on a national level. And so they can call us, actually go to our website, they want to, at promisevillage.com, okay. And there'll be a link right there on our national training. And August 4th, 5th, and 6th will be our discovery session for anybody who might have
August
interest.
August 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Right.
So you can call, what number do they need to call?
They can call 1-877-A-PROMISE. Or they can go to our website, and they'll see the National Training Initiative if they have interest, and that's at promisevillage.com.
And since it's the Kellogg Foundation, they can also eat Frosted Flakes.
Exactly. We'll
that
have,
helps.
All weekend we will have Frosted Flakes.
All right.
Great.
That was good. I think that's quite a compliment that someone would see what you've done and want to replicate it. Mm-hmm. There's no higher form of compliment than that.
It's awesome. Lord has orchestrated it, so we're excited to find those people out there who have a heart for this and to train them up so we can hopefully help many, many other kids in the days ahead.
Well, as most of you know, this is Good Friday. And, you know, it's always a little ironic to me that it's called Good Friday, but because this is the, you know, we acknowledge that Christ was sacrificed on Friday. And it's Good Sunday when he's raised from the dead. But let's talk about Good Friday for a little bit. What do you think? I mean,
well, it's fascinating that the Bible says it was the will of the Lord to crush him as he put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for sin. And someday he would see his offspring and he shall prolong his days. And the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, to put him to death. And in that sense, it's good because there was this ultimate work being accomplished there that could not have been performed in any other way.
Yeah.
The Bible says in a few verses just prior to that, all we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So in that sense, it's good that the Lord was pleased to crush him. And the Bible says the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a verse that always baffles me, that somehow God in his foreknowledge would know that the Savior had to be provided. And this was a good day indeed, because of all the millennia coming together at just one point in time, he would die for my sins. I am appreciative of that.
Well, Mylon, I've tried to be a good guy. Mm-hmm. I've tried to be a religious guy.
Yeah.
I was a good Sunday school boy. I rebelled. There's no way I can be good enough, and I am so grateful that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that the penalty for my sin could be covered. As far as good people go, I might be able to get this far up the ladder on good people, like three rungs or something. But God's way up there, and I can't get there. But Jesus Christ comes, sacrifices his life, and gets us to that level because he takes away the sins of the world and the sins of each of our worlds. And so if you trust in Christ and his sacrifice, you can have eternal life because he bridges that gap. An unholy you becomes holy in the presence of God because of his sacrifice. But an unholy you can't get there. But Jesus gets us there. On the right hand of God, he is our advocate, saying, yes, this person took my sacrifice upon himself and so that sacrifice is credited against our sins.
It's fun to celebrate the resurrection if you count funness, mm-hmm. On a relative scale. Okay, hey, good, he's alive. But this day above all days, mm-hmm. is the day where the work was done,
right,
to deliver me from the domain of darkness.
Yeah. There was a song called The Day You Wore My Crown, and it really was our crown.
Mm-hmm. I've sung it many times.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's
maybe
awesome.
You guys should do a duet. I don't know.
The day he wore my crown. All right, so anyway, Good Friday. I hope some of you are going to think about this and accept Christ on Good Friday.
Yep.
And if you need some help, we've got a new believer kit. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The other thing I want to talk to you about is a Good Friday coming up on May the 13th. You and your spouse could come to a New Life weekend. Hmm. Mylon and Kay are going to be there talking about how we love and the imprints from childhood. I'm going to be there talking about the five walls. This is from my new book, Walking Into Walls, the five walls that prevent us from changing in our marriage. And then Dave and Jan Stoop are going to be talking about intimacy and how do you become each other's best friends. It's going to be a great transformational weekend, May 13, 14, and 15. You call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can still get there, but it's coming close, Mylon.
It's coming up fast.
It's the first time we've ever done just the marriage weekend, and it's going to be a great time. We do other weekends, too. There's the Wives in the Battle weekend, Lose It for Life, the Transformation weekend, Every Man's Battle. All of these things are there, and you can find out about them and the 900 counselors that we have across this earth that can help you. We really want to help you. And so call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We've been talking about this for over a year.
Yeah.
And now, Dave, Jan, you, Kay, and Mylon are going to be speaking. And literally, I could sit and listen to Dave Stoop all day long. Isn't he great to listen to?
And together,
he and Jan are so entertaining.
Ricky and Lucy or something.
Well,
like
they are like that.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to come to.
It will be fun, and it will be life-changing. So call us. Now, here on Good Friday, I need to ask you to sacrifice so that we can stay on the air. I need you, if you've never given before, to ask God, God, is this something that I should support? Are these a group of people that are after your own heart? Is this a ministry that really is trying to transform the world one soul at a time? And for those of you who have given in the past, would you come alongside us now and support us? We do need your help. We thank all of you that support us. Club New Life is such an amazing group of people, over 4,000 people that give to us on a regular monthly basis, and they get all sorts of benefits, and I do a CD for them every month just for them, for Club New Life, and people love that CD. Anyway, if you've ever thought about it, it would be a great time to do that. What a great thing to say, hey, I started giving to that ministry on Good Friday 2011. Please do. The number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online at newlife.com. Well, my thanks to Tim Coldiron for coming,
for
helping us with some calls about kids. And I really hope and pray that people will call you if they want to start a Promise Village or they have a child that really needs that help. Mylon, God bless you there. I'm glad you're with us. It's always great to be with you. And, you can get a copy of Mylon's book, How We Love, and then the new book, How We Love Our Kids, which is a lot more about we than the kids. It's about our style of parenting and what are the imprints that we're leaving on our children today. That's available at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We thank you. In the morning, we're all going to be here early praying for you. If you have a prayer request, you ought to let us know about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. But we are praying for you because we want God to be real to you, His presence to be known. We know He's there. We hope that you'll feel His presence today. Happy Good Friday to you. See you next time on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.